So, hello, everyone, and welcome to this podcast. Today, we have a wonderful guest. This is Ted Goal. Hello, Ted Goal.
Hi, Josephine. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you.
Okay, so, well, I know that you played a big part in the history of Hole in the Wall Theater in New Britain, Connecticut. What advice would you give to someone who is hoping to start their own theater company?
Well, I assume you're talking about a small theater, such as we did, not one that's a full-blown professional theater. And if your goal is to be famous and make money, I don't really have much advice for you. Otherwise, if you just want to start a theater, I would say it's important that you find something, reach deeply inside and find something so important that you can't resist it. I'd also suggest reading The Empty Space by Peter Brook. I think it's one of the best books about what theater is and the various forms it can take. It opened my mind up for the Hole in the Wall to what was possible. It's an old book, but I think it's still available online. It's called The Empty Space.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And I also know that you direct in numerous shows. What would you suggest to someone who aspires to be a director?
I'd have to say you should, as clearly and concisely as possible, be ready to express the concept. What you imagine the final product will look like, feel like, and move like to others. And be ready to express that to all the people you're working with. Not just actors, but designers, stage managers, even ticket sellers. And if everybody starts out with a similar look at where you're going, then once you start rehearsals, you should be willing to change the details of that as you collaborate, as others start to grab the vision and be creative with it. I think that the best shows are the result of many artists' creativity. A director starts out with a vision and then watches what's happening during rehearsals almost as if he was an audience, saying, this works, that doesn't.
That's such good advice. And I also remember you not only being a very good director, but also being a very talented actor. If you could choose one acting tool, what would that be?
I'd have to say there are a couple of things. I think there are some fundamentals that are so important you can't put one ahead of the other. One thing, for instance, is to train your voice. Young actors have a tendency to just rely on what they think their voice is doing, especially in theater where you have to reach the back of the audience and you have to make it subtle. Second, take risks at every single rehearsal you go to. Try something new. Every time you go to rehearsal, be ready to try new things. Third, learn how to subtext. You know, what's going on below the text? What are the feelings and thoughts that the character has below what they're saying? And finally, learn to stay focused. Learn how to keep your energy focused on what you're doing.
That's such good advice.
A lot of that I didn't learn for myself until I'd been doing it for 10 years.
How was it that you first fell in love with directing and acting?
You know, I came out of the Navy. I went straight from high school into the Navy, and when I left there, I went to college. Now, I went to college partly because I'd read Socrates, Aristotle, and I had this picture of people sitting around and discussing the great ideas of the world. Of course, college was nothing like that, but that's beside the point. So when I went to college, they had an introduction for freshmen, and one of the booths set up was a theater booth. And without any particular desire for theater, I just went over there and got into a conversation. And I found myself signing up to join this group. And that kind of got me started. But that's not really where I fell in love. I actually did theater for 3 years in college, and then I went off to the American Academy on a scholarship. And when I was in New York at the Academy, still seeing theater as a kind of, oh, I want to be a star, I wasn't really in love with theater. I was in love with the idea of being famous, that sort of thing. And then I saw this production of Peter Brook's, Peter Brook's Royal Shakespeare Company at the Martin Beck Theater. It would have been 64, 65, 65, I think. It was a production of Murat Saad, and it just blew me away. In fact, I was angry when I walked out of the theater saying, what is this? It affected me emotionally, deeply. And I remember I talked about it in acting class the next day, and the instructor, he said to me, you had your first experience of theater. I went home and thought about that, and all of a sudden, theater meant something completely different to me. After that, it involved me. It brought my whole being in. And not for fame or fortune, but to have that effect on other people, to have that ability to express myself, the effect.
That's beautiful. And so was that the moment that you decided to become a professional performer, or was that after that?
You know, when I went to the academy, I thought I would become a professional. It didn't quite turn out that way for me for a whole number of reasons. One, it was the mid-60s, and I got caught up in the whole hippie thing. And for another, I was poor, and living in New York City, while you are poor, is very difficult. And I ended up going back to Connecticut and becoming a lighting technician at the Hartford Stage Company. I got caught up in that side of theater, which, by the way, I'm very grateful for. I learned so much being on the other side of the stage. I actually became a professional, ultimately, but it was years later. We started the Hole in the Wall. For many years, that's all we did. I wouldn't even call it community theater. It was neighborhood theater. My whole life, I was teaching, but I was also doing theater. And I went off to teach overseas in Hong Kong and then Japan. And after I left Japan, I decided to become a professional. So I went back to the U.S. and started auditioning. I got a show in New York. I got my equity license. And for a while, I did regional theater. And then I went back to teaching. I went to Portugal and Damascus. And I kept doing theater the whole time. But I never put myself into it as my only thing. It was an important thing where I put much of my energy, but teaching was equally important, and I really loved teaching. I got as much satisfaction of a different kind when I was teaching.
Where do you get your inspiration from for the different projects that you've done? When you look back, what inspired you to create different things?
There's a couple of ways of answering that. First of all, there are so many people and works of art and experiences that inspire you in theater once you get used to and decide you are going to be creative. I think creativity is never limited to one thing, at least not for me. I was creative as a teacher. I was creative in other ways. I do fine arts, you know, I draw, I paint. Creativity for me is something you invest in your life. In fact, your life itself can be creative. The way you live, the choices you make about how and where you live. And if your goal is just to enjoy life, you're going to have to be creative to do that. So that's one answer. Everything inspires me in a way. A bird singing outside your window. It could be something somebody says to you. I had a strong desire when I started The Hole in the Wall to express the horror many of us felt by the cruelty we saw with the great Vietnam War. You know, Hole in the Wall started as an underground theater. That was a major motivation, inspiration in the early days. And honestly, when also, when you're young, a young person wants to do theater in a community like that because there's a lot of being closer and more intimate. That was a strong motivation. I look forward to getting into the theater each night. It was like a love affair. In fact, Ray Shin used to say, theater is for lovers.
Talking back about actors and directors, do you have favorite actors or favorite directors?
You know, it changes from year to year. Well, I mean, more recently, I love Meryl Streep. She's an extraordinary actor. And, you know, there were actors and directors in my small theater that I truly admired. I think my favorite director at the Hole in the Wall was Ray Shin. At my age, I'm 78. At my age, there's been so much.
So what was your most rewarding experience in theater?
As a director, I'd have to say directing Oscar Wilde's Salome. An extraordinary experience because the play is a poem, a long poem, with a lot of repetition and so forth. And we took such a unique approach to it. And the thing of having a vision... I had a vision to start with, a very strong one, and I was able to communicate it to everybody. It was a delight right from beginning to closing night. As an actor, I had a couple of roles that I think the one that perhaps felt most rewarding at the time was playing the doctor in Equus. And that was partly because at the time we did it and what was going on then, and partly what was going on with me personally. I was a new teacher at the time. I had a lot of feelings I needed to share.
What would you say the most valuable thing is that you might have learned as an actor?
Again, it took me years to discover this. It was to learn to enjoy the rehearsals at least as much, if not more, than the performances. I used to, in the early days, rehearsal was something I had to go through to get to the performance. Being in front of the audience, that was rewarding. Later on, I began to realize I kind of had it backwards. The real job was in creating the show. There was some verification that you'd done the work, but the real joy was, and there was some ego stroking that went on by doing a performance and having people critique it and like it. But that was nothing compared to the joy of going through the process. Those moments of inspiration at every rehearsal. I mean, there are just so many great things about rehearsals. And I think that people who resist, like I did in the early days, resist throwing themselves into rehearsals and getting joy out of it, often struggle. They struggle right up to open night. And hopefully it works because they've done the work. But I think it's so much easier and so much more rewarding if you let go of the goal and enjoy the process.
Beautiful. And do you feel the same as a director?
No, because directing is far less creative than acting is. I mean, it's creative at the beginning. I remember at the beginning when preparing for a show, I'd often sit in a darkened theater after a general meeting, or I'd go in there when nobody was there, and I'd sit there and visualize what kind of show, kind of see the show, get a picture of it. That part was very creative. And the initial communicating of that vision to the people I was working with was creative. But once actual rehearsals started, far less creative. Because the director starts with that vision and then begins to compromise it as other people begin to create. Your job as director becomes just to look for what works and what doesn't. You know, that doesn't fit with what we're doing, or that isn't working. It doesn't communicate. I can't hear you. I'd say that a lot. I can't hear you. I mean, you're really being an audience member. You're playing the role of the audience and responding to what the actors are doing. So it's far less creative and far more critical. And part of it is to inspire people. So if an actor gets struck, you want to give them some ideas. So there's some creating in that. But you don't want to force the ideas. As an actor, you start by not having a vision at all and you build it up. It's almost as though you're going in different directions. The director is compromising his vision and the actor is building it. I've only once or twice acted in any shows that I also directed. And in each case, it was because somebody got sick and I had to take the part.
Thank you so much, Ted, for all this gold that you gave us today, all this great suggestions and just your life experience, which is so valuable. And we really, really appreciate it. So thank you for joining today on this podcast. And for anyone listening, stay tuned for the next episode. It's been wonderful having Ted Gull, and I'll catch you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Josephine. It was a joy to look back and look at it all.
Absolutely. All right. Take care.